This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look.
Judge Gorsuch may act like a neutral, calm judge, but his record and his career clearly show he harbors a right-wing, pro-corporate, special interest agenda. He enacted it time and time again on the Tenth Circuit, and if given the chance, I have no doubt he would do it again in the Supreme Court. He expresses a lot of empathy and sympathy for the less powerful, but when it comes time to rule, when the chips are down, far too often he sides with the powerful few over everyday Americans trying to just get a fair shake. We've seen this play out time and time again. Judge Gorsuch repeatedly sided with insurance companies that wanted to deny disability benefits to employees. In employment discrimination cases, Bloomberg found he sided with employers 60% of the time. In one of the few cases he sided with an employee, it was a Republican woman who alleged she was fired for being a conservative. A hard right conservative billionaire groomed and nurtured Judge Gorsuch for the Tenth Circuit and now the Supreme Court. That is a cause for alarm for every working class American and should give senators pause about putting him on the highest court of the land.
How do we... You know, to listen to Chuck Schumer here, it's laughable because you go, okay.
He has to be the worst person ever, right? Gorsuch must be.
And so somebody who is a left wing somehow is more accepting than a right wing, I guess. You know, somehow. I mean,
the hyperbole on all of it. It's all, look, both these sides have to work together. And unfortunately, that in order for people to work together, somebody needs to be the one that extends a hand. They have the guy that's in charge that has extended that hand, and they slapped it out of the way. What are you going to do?
Well, when the argument is all about ideology, and it's not about, you know, what is the mission of the judge? What is the objective? What is the Supreme Court judge supposed to do? And that should be the standard, and that's what should be discussed. Are they going to be there as, held? What is the standard they're being held to? And it seems like the Democrats is that if the standard is you can interpret the Constitution however way you want, that it's fast and loose, then you know you're one of us. If it's if you're a constructionist, if you feel like, or an originalist, and you believe that the founding fathers meant what they said on James Madison's birthday, it really is, it's pretty well etched there. I mean, there is some flexibility, but by and large, I mean, it interprets itself, and it said what it meant. Now, if you believe in that, if you're an originalist like a Scalia, then that's the problem. But this is the dynamic tension that exists in the courts today. Is you have, and especially led by a president, even more so, it seemed to give him significant space when he said that, the Constitution is elastic, and it's subject to interpretation according to the modern era, right?
Well, look at what the courts are doing right now with the immigration stuff. He put together an order that says, this is what we're doing, this is why I'm doing it, and they've ruled against it because why?
Well, he says, and he's probably right, because they don't like him. If President Obama had done this, there would have been no hesitation. But because Trump, and they're going to do everything they can, I mean, you know, the spirit of the day.
And we know that because he did it.
Yeah.
He did do it.
Yes, exactly. And without a whimper. I mean, there was no big exception, no uproar. But because Donald Trump is the one that's doing it, and following up on his commitments that he made on the campaign, then, you know, heaven forbid. This is Bill Martinez. The conversation continues. Michael Dougherty coming up next right here. Stay with us, America.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification, and our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I'm telling you, that has to be the focus, ladies and gentlemen. You know, people want to argue about, you know, the little particulars and that sort of thing. But what is the main objective? What are we trying to accomplish here? And that is that America will return to its greatness. And I know some people think, well, that's rather arrogant. But I don't know what else to call it. And I don't think there is anything wrong with saying, look, you want to be excellent. This is what happens in the sports world. I mean, we got March Madness getting, you know, already underway. And, you know, it's not like these kids are going out there and going, hey, you know what? I want to go and get my butt kicked. I want to lose right away. And so I can stay home and watch the rest of March Madness. You know, the objective is, hey, look, we want to put on the, you know, the best exhibition of our own abilities as possible, you know, compete fairly and in an exciting way and, you know, do the best we can. And what's wrong with that as a country to be able to have this level of excellence and desire to, as our old friend Casey Kasem used to say, you know, keep your feet on the ground, but keep reaching for the stars, right? Bill Martinez here with you, and it's time for the one and only Michael Dougherty, President and CEO of LabMD, an Atlanta-based clinical and anatomical medical laboratory. He's also authored the book, The Devil Inside the Beltway. Michael, always good to have you with us. How are you doing?
Good, because I hold you in such high regard, I will only say happy birthday and not sing happy birthday.
Well, thank you. It's very nice of you to remember this.
And all your listeners, I wouldn't want to have them turn their radios off because of the screeching coming from my vocal cords.
Well, we've got some really important things to talk about, and but thank you for the acknowledgement. I appreciate that very sincerely. You know, and I think your article in terms of the scoring by the CBO left a lot of questions for me personally. And when I saw this, I go, you know, Michael and I have to talk right away about this. Because the whole scoring of the CBO, I mean, you get the people on the left claiming it's a conservative enterprise. The CBO is, it's controlled by conservatives and Republicans. They're the one, and then you get the, you know, the conservative side saying, oh no, it's the left wing. And I'm going, hey, why didn't you score Obamacare as it is today compared to what is being proffered by the Republicans? Can we do that?
Well, yeah, first of all, you have to understand the American public thinks they're speaking English and they're not. They're speaking lawyer or another dialect called politician, and it sounds close, but it's not the same. So, you know, and then you take statistics and numbers, and it's worthless. I mean, now you also have to look at history of they always do this when it fits their narrative, and they always attack it when it doesn't fit their narrative. It doesn't matter. It has a history of inaccuracy, and this is what happens when you have non-technical people running a technology, whether it be science or medicine, You know, I don't know. We don't have them decide on what rockets blow off. It's really nothing. But it's something for people to grab onto. Mm-hmm. And you would think after the history of this fiasco and the American public has gotten rising invoice after their benefits, evaporate like an ice cube in Arizona, you'd think that there wouldn't really be much to discuss. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, how much confidence can you have in this deal? Because, you know, even with Obamacare, when it first came out, what was the scoring of the CBO? It was like they painfully did everything they could avoid of, you know, from saying the trillion-dollar mark. They did not even want to cough up $1 trillion, which everybody knew that Obamacare was going to cost more than $1 trillion. The impact that it would have. And the CBO just went through all kinds of constraints and pretzel logic in order to, as you say, you talk about the originators of fake news. You might put that right at the doorstep of the CBO.
Well, I wonder how they calculated Jonathan Gruber's calculation that we're supposed to be fooling the American public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 What calculus equation do you come up with in order to accommodate that kind of, unreasonable?
That stew is never going to taste good, and it's mm-hmm. never going to work because the ingredients are junk.
Well, you know, Michael, this whole situation, I mean, they keep talking about how complex it is and, healthcare and what they're trying to do. Let me ask you this. Is the government, I mean, because of what Obama already put in motion, what Democrats put in motion, it's almost like the Republicans have no choice because it's not like they can walk away from this. I mean, because they threw themselves in the middle of this 7 years ago when they said, no, we're going to repeal it and we're going to replace it. And I think like many people were very disappointed that after all these years, the conversation still goes that they really, I mean, repealing it is easy enough. Replacing it is the big problem.
Well, Republicans are terrible at making everyone within the party walk in lockstep, and that's because we don't bully and intimidate, and we've got a lot of independent thinkers. So it's a bad thing, but it's a good thing, because Pelosi runs everyone with an iron fist. I mean, how can you be so incompetent and take the party to such a losing streak and still have power? So, yes. You know, it is what it is, and unfortunately, Republicans are always good at eating their own and criticizing each other publicly because, you know what, that's healthy. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, this is what happens no matter what when you have the government messing with medicine, and that's the biggest picture. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be difficult. What the Republicans have done a lousy job at is explaining this proactively. This is the second terrible rollout since Trump got inaugurated.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to make it dead clear, and this is what I said, what I've been saying for the last week. This is the bomb that Harry Reid built, and Obama and Pelosi. Mm-hmm. And this is a ticking bomb that hasn't exploded yet, and if you dismantle it really quickly, it will explode. And therefore, and because they know what they're doing, it's 1,000 pages that we never, it's the law.
Yes.
And to undo the law, unfortunately, you have to use those processes, and that's what they're doing. But, you know, they just leapfrog right over that explanation mm-hmm. and lost control of the narrative. And you know, I think it's a very believable argument that the American people will accept because the majority of Americans don't want Obamacare repealed and replaced in 2 seconds if it's going to create carnage. They're patient, and patience does not mean years, you know, but we just have to understand the process of this, and, you know, we're smarter than people think, so.
Well, repealing it, though, Michael, I mean, even if they repealed it tomorrow, it's still a two-year exit. It's not
right.
Like it's going to be immediate, and but I think the dynamics of it are such is that they better be prepared because you are going to have to deal with, you know, like that woman at the town hall saying, look, I pay a dollar for my Obamacare. You're not taking that away from me.
Well, you know, again, politicians are politicians. And, you know, this is what they do. And they put the Republican on the griddle and they turn up the heat at these town halls. And, you know, it's a great soundbite. It's the lose-lose situation for the Republicans to say, really, should we be paying for all that?
Exactly. Well, it's not just, but it's the rest of the, you know, citizens of the country who are paying for it. I mean, right. You know, it's we the people. We're paying for the money and going, wait a minute, is it fair for you to expect health care for a dollar? And for me to be paying, you know, my unfair share in order for you to have a dollar worth of, you know, insurance, is that fair?
And you show up for town halls for anything other than free stuff.
Okay, we'll be right back.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance. For your family or business, call Portable Solar LLC today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Attention! If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Evidence indicates that these devices can dislocate and loosen, causing severe pain, and may require additional revision surgery. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement and suffered a dislocation and loosening requiring a revision, call 800-598-0696. If you or a loved one had a total or reverse shoulder replacement between 2011 and 2016 and suffered serious complications, including dislocation and loosening, you may be entitled to substantial compensation. Time is limited to file a claim. Act now. For more information and a free consultation, call 800-598-0696. That's 800-598-0696. Again, that's 800-598-0696. Call now.
Hi, I am Kelly Cook, the Chief Marketing Officer here at Kmart. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States, or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? Guess what? You can help. Join me and Kmart for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. So start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth. This is Bill Martinez live.
If we're going to get this country back on track, it's got to be based on the facts, Jack, as they say, huh? 19 minutes after the top of the hour, I'm Bill Martinez. Michael Dougherty is with us. Our conversation continues with the author of The Devil Inside the Beltway, the shocking expose of the U.S. government's surveillance and overreach into cybersecurity, medicine, as well as small business. Michael, you've got to be greatly encouraged, you know, when we talk about small business, to see what Donald Trump has been doing by executive order right now in order to expedite things,
But look what's going on. I mean, people's dreams, their hope in, you know, finding their own small businesses now are on the rise, lifting up these restrictions that were burdened on them, you know, relative to Obamacare, that, you know, have them limiting their employees to less than 50, you know, getting all those things out of the way, those obstructionist concepts that were instituted by the Democrats and Barack Obama. You know, we're sensing that the chains are coming off, and look what's happening on this financial trajectory and hope that we have in this country.
And there's so much money on the sidelines for 8 years of Obama because Democrats live to punish. They don't have a triangle of villain and savior and victim. They don't have a platform. And what we see is what happens when they create a villain, we lose because it's a big mirage. Doesn't mean there's not bad people out there, but it creates a mentality in the public that thinks everyone's a bad guy, and then it starts, and then you roll to the gimme, gimme, gimme. It's all connected. And by removing that, we, you know, you see good times roll and expansion happen. And these small business people, my gosh, it is so tough to run a small business. You've got to wear every hat there is. It's usually your consumes your entire life. Mm-hmm. You pay a big personal price. It's very satisfying, but you don't need to have the government come in and just setting up trap doors for you to fail. Right. It's insane.
You're exactly right. For what these entrepreneurs put on the line, you know, to employ other people, you know, as you say, they're, you know, take seconds on their home. They're, you know, trying to, you know, come up with any kind of funds that they can. And then, you have the government coming along. Like you say, you know, some are hidden landmines. Others are, you know, even more, you know, more obvious than others. And certainly in the last decade, they've been there and dissuaded people from dreaming. I mean, even to the point that you got young kids going, I don't even want to open up a lemon stand anymore for all the regulation I have.
Well, if you open a lemon stand, the city council will come in and arrest you when you're 10 years old. I mean, it's crazy.
Yes.
It's insane. Well, and you're teaching subliminally everyone that the government's gotten. And the reason you're talking about greatness of America early in the lead-in. Mm-hmm. And the greatness of America, what people understand is, it means that the government works for us. That's the greatness. It's not bragging. Again, it's the messaging. Well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. It means that we run the show and we get them off our back.
Right. They serve at our pleasure, not the other way around. You see, and this is what's been omitted. They keep saying, well, you know, you serve at the president's pleasure. No, you serve at the people's pleasure. Okay. Now, by extension, it may be the president, but lest you forget who is the boss here. And this is the problem, is that America has relinquished the reins and they've let go of, you know, a constitutional fact. And that is, it's about we the people. We're large, we're in charge, and the voice of we the people needs to be heard again.
And that has been fading away for a century. Mm-hmm. We've not had a fully briefed civics book that talks about the deep state, the administrative state that we've allowed to proliferate for a century. And you're seeing how big it is by you seeing all the guns pointed at Trump. Because Trump was a populist president, right? So that's the populist versus all the potted plants, whether they be rhino or Democrat or media, it doesn't matter. It's everyone that's there for a careerist point of view, yeah, not a populist point of view. And look at how many of them they are. Look at them.
Exactly. Well, you talk
about
them being...
And they've done a really good job tying his feet together and then screaming that he can't run, although we sometimes have the entertaining of Rachel Maddow.
Just for fun. You know, you talk about the potted plants, but the potted plants without a bottom, because if you were to raise the pot on the side, you see how deep the roots have got dug into the system, how they've burrowed into the bureaucracy and have become, you know, this deep state. This isn't a boogeyman. This is, I mean, when you have the leaking that's taking place in our country today at the high levels that it's taking place, we got trouble here in River City, Michael.
Well, and it's going to take a while. Mm. I mean, it just takes a while. It's amazing. And this is the thing. Unfortunately, someone had commented from Heritage that some of the bureaucrats have still wormed their way into Trump because there's so many of them. He couldn't fill those positions if he didn't select some. He tries to get as many, you know, free thinkers as he can. But look, it just is what it is right now. It's not going to turn on a dime, and it's hard because really, if you're not a lawyer, if you're not just a lawyer, it's hard to get a job in the administration.
Right.
I mean, and that's really a dangerous part because those people live in an artificial world. They really don't have the dirt on their hands of working in the garden of business.
Exactly.
And it's tough. And Republicans don't really work in government all the time. Like Democrats, I mean, they don't know what we're talking about. They've got no clue. They come from cradle to grave, you know, usually, and or they're guilt-ridden, one of the two.
There you go. Hey, Michael, President Trump last night said in the next couple of weeks we're going to have this information about the bugging of Trump, and I've likened it to kind of a modern-day Watergate. It was a break-in. But it was a break-in of cybersecurity. So some similarities, to Watergate. And I'm curious to see how this all plays out. But Trump is pretty insistent that he's got, you know, there's something there, and he's got some information that we should know about in the next couple of weeks.
Well, they're all wordsmithing right now, and they're scrambling. And, it's interesting. House Intelligence asked some interesting questions about what Obama people were doing. It's that army of people, and I put Obama as the head, and he can play stupid like a fuck. But it makes Watergate look like amateur hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's all now stealth because of technology.
Right.
And then you can say, I wasn't there. However, he's not president anymore, and the thing that has brought down all these politicians is they don't understand that technology leaves fingerprints, and we have forensics, and it doesn't care about who you are. Computers could care less who you are.
Mm-hmm.
They will smack anyone in the face.
Well, Michael, but there's supposedly this, and you would know better, that they were introducing this proposition that there was technology in existence to where it would confuse the footprint. Is that so?
Well, they're called red flags, and yes, but if you find the original base, then that doesn't make any difference. But and that's the fact that the CIA is using red flags. Hey, look, that as long as it's not being used against Americans, great.
Yeah, right.
Because that's, folks, everything that we use against others can be used against us. These are not unique secret weapon tools.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think about the CIA issue of being, well, they don't use it against Americans. So who uses those tools outside the CIA that is using against Americans inside America?
Yeah. Don't you feel like you're part of the lab rat society here? You know, at the expense, you know, I mean, it's just like, who needs lab rats? You know, you got the our own government, our own agencies out there. And, hey, did you ever figure out what 17 agencies they are? The question was asked the other night by...
Oh, that was great. Right? Tucker
wasn't Carlson, that great?
That was great.
Yeah, that was great. So what are the 17? The guy, well, he could come up with, he goes, five. And he goes, well, I'll get that list to you. You know, they spout up, like you say, the wordsmithing and the numbers that go out there. They just make this stuff up, you know. I still haven't figured out the 17.
I think Tucker Carlson douses his guest in oil and then brings him in the seat and then lights him when the camera goes on.
But, you know, what happens? He doesn't even light. They themselves light the match. That's the thing that's so comical about it, right?
And they know it's coming.
Unbelievable.
But they just want to be on TV.
Michael Dougherty on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Michael.
This report is brought to you by SC Johnson. Did you know that the Amazon region produces 20% of the world's breathable oxygen? The Amazon rainforest is one of the world's most vital life support systems. From its role as the world's largest watershed to the fact that its trees act as the lungs of the earth, people need Amazonia to thrive. Every year, an estimated 3.7 million acres of the Amazon disappear due to deforestation. But there is something you can do to help. SC Johnson is joining forces with Conservation International to stop this trend one acre at a time. Protecting an acre of tropical forest costs just $25. And for every acre saved by you, SC Johnson will double donations to save a total of 10,000 acres. Join us by protecting 1 acre of land for $25. And together, we can help make a positive impact for future generations. For more information about the Acre for Acre Match and to view the new Conservation International VR film Under the Canopy, visit conservation.org/canopy.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And right now, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-962-2358. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. To receive your 10-day in-home trial, call MiniCPAP.com now. 1-800-962-2358. Again, that's 1-800-962-2358.
Your opinion really does matter. Bill Martinez live, without a doubt.
Hey, bring this country back on track. You need to be in the fray of it all, ladies and gentlemen. It didn't end in November. It was just the beginning. Keep up the good fight. Hang in there. Do not get discouraged. It is going to be a process. Sarah Westwood is speaking of process. She knows about this being up close and personal as a White House news correspondent for the Washington Examiner, and she's with us right now. Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, good to have you back. I want to talk about health care. You and David Drucker wrote your column on health care threatening to complicate the Trump-Ryan relationship. How's that?
Well, this is really the first major test of how their new friendliness that has sort of developed between them since the election, it's the first real test of how that will play out when it comes to getting things done. This is the first major legislative battle. President Trump sort of exported a lot of the functions of writing and putting together this healthcare policy to the speaker. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is a little bit of disappointment maybe with the final product. The sources that we've been talking to have sort of said there were assurances given to the White House that conservatives would like the American Healthcare Act, that this would have no problem passing the House. And now, I mean, it might not even get out of committee. It's not been smooth sailing. This is a tough fight for President Trump to take on, and it's extra concerning because it's the first legislative fight that President Trump has ever had, which might not necessarily bode well for Ryan and Trump getting other things done down the road, like tax reform, like education reform, everything else Trump wants.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this does it does speak to the future and future opportunities of these two being able to work together. I think Trump entrusted a lot in Paul Ryan, you know, because of his walkiness and his understanding, seemingly, of you know, the situation. But does Paul Ryan dream big enough, or his dreams big enough to where it could approximate
Trump, because Trump deals in the area of the big banner headlines. And he goes for the he's reaching for the stars on all this stuff. Can he get Paul Ryan to at least maybe, you know, raise up a little bit on his tiptoes?
Well, you know, I think that President Trump has been forced to take on this role as kind of a referee. Last night, Trump called himself an arbiter as he sees the broker between getting this passed between the conservatives, between what he called the more liberal wing of the Republican Party. But if Paul Ryan had put out a bill that was more palatable to the Republican Party at large, President Trump wouldn't have to play that role because it would just pass easily, and that's not what's happening. So I think that that has sort of forced President Trump to maybe take on more of an active role in the passage of health care than maybe he would have liked, given that they're also trying to juggle a lot of other balls right now. They're trying to deal with the budget. They're trying to win these legal battles, the court challenges to his temporary immigration restrictions. Yeah, so he has a lot on his plate, and he's sort of being forced to step in on the healthcare situation because Paul Ryan doesn't seem to have a good control of his caucus.
Well, and you bring up an excellent point here, and Trump being, you know, the consummate CEO that he is that, I mean, he'll give, when he entrusts you and he gives you the shot, at least what I've been able to observe, you know, from the outside, this is before becoming president, but just in business and other business dealings, is that he will entrust you and empower you to make the decisions. But, you know, the leash is still a bit short. He's not going to give it to you, you know, forever and ever. Amen. If Paul Ryan fails the test here, this could be an interesting dynamic that could ensue here. What do you think?
Well, it would certainly complicate President Trump's ability to get things done in the future. At the end of the day, he needs Paul Ryan because he can't introduce the legislation in Congress. Paul Ryan has to be the one who's directing Trump's agenda from Capitol Hill. So they do need to have that working relationship. And it just means that maybe in the future, President Trump's team might not give Paul Ryan as much discretion when it comes to calculating what should go in a bill and what should not go in a bill. Maybe the White House staff might not take Paul Ryan as much at his word that a bill will pass easily, that they'll get a little bit more involved in the preparation of future policies. And that just might be a lesson that they've learned from this, that, you know, they can't necessarily just export all of these legislative functions and trust that that Republican leaders in Congress will handle it.
Exactly. Well, and again, as Trump is a CEO, when you have managers and they say they're going to deliver on something and they don't, their credibility is lost really quick. And that's the way the business world works. And maybe that's something that Paul Ryan needs to understand, because some managers, you know, they want to be optimistic. They want to reflect what their boss is saying. And Trump is very optimistic. There's no doubt about it. And it's easy to get infected by that, but, you know, it's kind of like that commercial. Yeah, I can do that. I think it was FedEx or something. Yeah, I can do that. And then after they leave, they go, how am I going to do that? And maybe Paul Ryan's having a little bit of that consternation right now. But it's a growth opportunity for him, because Trump is going to, just by his own personality and his leadership, he's going to cause you to grow. And I think the opportunity for Paul Ryan here is that he could be a truly effective leader if he understands, you know, that dynamic in the process. Is that if he says he's going to do something, he's got to deliver.
Right. And it hasn't affected their relationship to the point where it's getting unfriendly. I mean, President Trump last night did defend Paul Ryan. He said he believes that Paul Ryan still has the interests of the American people at heart. He doesn't think that Paul Ryan, you know, purposefully complicated the passage of health care. He is still stood by Paul Ryan by all of this. It just might change the way the West Wing approaches future, the introduction of future legislation, because they understand now that, you know, that they might not necessarily be able to trust that a bill that Paul Ryan puts forward is automatically going to get a GOP consensus.
Well, and you know, especially I think Trump in his recent interview even with Tucker Carlson, you have this sense that the reality of the job is setting in, and he's realizing, even with other statements that he made prior to last night, is that he's realizing that, and like he told everybody, he goes, this is a mess. You know, it's much more complicated. This isn't running Trump Tower and Trump Corporate anymore. This is a whole different, monster in and of itself.
Exactly. And I think that one key thing that he did in that Tucker interview was to continue to remind people what the alternative is, that maybe this healthcare plan that's in the House right now doesn't have everything in it that everybody wants, but the alternative is a healthcare system that is more or less collapsing and that is only going to get worse as time goes on. So he's trying to draw attention to the fact that even if this bill doesn't satisfy your every wish, if you're a Republican, it's far better than the status quo. And that's sort of the message that the White House has fallen back on when the American Healthcare Act has faced criticism.
Well, isn't that part of the problem, though, Sarah, is that people haven't, you know, they kind of see that on the horizon, I think some do, not everybody, that, and unfortunately, it's only maybe at any one time, maybe a little less than 10% of America that's actually experiencing the downside of healthcare. I mean, because they're not having to deal with anything catastrophically. You know, it's like, okay, I'd like to see a doctor, but, you know, we're okay. We're kind of managing it right now, even though we can't seem to find the doctor that we were told was always going to be there. And it's a bit cumbersome. So the full press and reality of the collapse of Obamacare is not quite there yet. It's still on the horizon, and the Republicans have been saying, look, this is going to be a problem. And even Donald Trump said, look, 2017 is going to be the worst year. Obama, by design, made sure that he was going to be out of office when the American public were going to really feel the impact of this devastating piece of legislation.
Exactly. I mean, the insurance exchanges are just now starting to have the effect of the companies pulling out, and so that's something that will be felt down the road. Trump has continually said it would be much easier for Republicans to just let it collapse and then show Democrats how bad the system truly is, but I think that Republicans would take a lot of the blame, obviously, if they let that happen.
Yeah, without a doubt. Sarah Westwood. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us. Always a pleasure to have you with us here on Bill Martinez Live.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many people with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
Sometimes diabetes can feel more like don't-a-bees. Don't do this, don't forget that. But with a little help from Walgreens, diabetes won't slow you down. Stop by for expert pharmacy care in-store or online via pharmacy chat. Pick up the medications you rely on and get savings on testing supplies from all major brands like One Touch and Walgreens TrueMetrics. Walgreens has just what you need to do more with diabetes. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information and how you can connect with any one of the 280 affiliates that we have across this country or around the world via shortwave, it's all right there. And we encourage you to get involved in the conversation and let us know your thoughts. You can send me an email direct, Bill Martinez, bill@billmartinezlive.com. It works just like that. Bruce Lawler is with us right now, retired as a major general from the U.S. Army, has extensive military civilian experience in the security sector, former CIA case officer, former trial lawyer, first chief of staff for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and former Virginia Tech professor, and as I said, retired major general of the U.S. Army, and we're going to talk about his new book. General Lawler, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. You know, for you, you've been, it seems like you've had this focused interest on personal defense. And I guess that's the genesis and, you know, the expression of when deadly force is involved and probably the motivator for this book, right?
Well, that's true. I've been involved in the Homeland Security arena for a number of years. Began well before 9/11, and you know we spent billions of dollars thinking about what federal, state, and local governments can do, and what the private sector can do to keep safe the systems that people rely on, transportation and water systems and all that. But we haven't devoted as much time and energy and thought into the responsibility, the role of the individual for his or her own safety in this new environment. And so that's really what I've been thinking about is just at the individual level, what can a person do? And inevitably, you do reach a time when people are on their own and they have a choice to fight or not to fight and to defend themselves. And so if they choose to make that decision, if they choose to fight, then what can they do and when can they do it? And that's really what the genesis of the book was, is to try to help people think their way through that process.
Well, in your book, you're taking a look at the, as you say, the legal side of Stand Your Ground. This came up, of course, with a case in Florida. And, you know, we've had some slight discussion, and I say slight because, you know, too often citizens don't know until they know, until they've made that decision, right?
That's exactly right. And that's one of the purposes that we're trying to help with, is that for people who don't possess firearms for purposes of self-defense, they really need to think through the situations that would trigger their use of the firearm, and it has to be done ahead of time. There's no time once you've been threatened with deadly danger. And so what what it does is there's a series of stories that tries to illustrate the main common themes or the main principles that appear in every self-defense shooting, mm-hmm. so that people understand sort of the boundaries of what has to happen before they can actually defend themselves with deadly force.
Well, I guess in my understanding and training as well, General, is that the first thing you do is you avoid it. You do everything you can to avoid that kind of conflict, right?
That's the best gunfight you'll ever be involved in, is the one you avoid. I mean, it's just there's no winners when there is that kind of an armed confrontation in the civilian community. There's just no winners.
So when you take that stand, you're backed into a corner. And like I say, in Florida, it's been debated to some extent, the stand your ground rule. And, of course, as we discuss more and more our Second Amendment rights and what is happening across the country, it looks like, you know, there is a concerted effort now to, you know, really have the states honor the Second Amendment right, that the concealed carry licensing would be effective in all states. I think this is going to be quite a process. But as this debate continues, then we need to understand that, okay, you've got your concealed weapon, you can carry, but with that comes a tremendous amount of responsibility.
That's the key. I mean, when you choose to carry a firearm, when you choose to possess a firearm to defend yourself in life and death situation, it's an enormous responsibility, and the law is pretty clear about what you can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. People will disagree about the facts of a situation, but once the facts are established, the law tends to follow a pretty well-worn path, and it's important that people understand that and know something about that path ahead of time.
What is it about the path that we don't understand, General? Because some people might say, "Well, yeah, I got a gun, and we've got in the last decade an increase in gun possession like no other time in our country's history, just about." But there are things about this that we don't understand, that it's more than just being able to, you know, qualify and, you know, have a license to carry. It's these other things of knowing that, when you take the gun out of the holster, so to speak, or you send a round down range here, boy, there is a lot of consequence that goes into that.
Yes, and there's a number of factors that sort of have to coalesce, and they all have to be present before it becomes a permissible behavior. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, an individual that's in, let's say, a dangerous situation, a number of questions can be asked, and that's sort of how we work the book, is that we ask questions and then show answers based on actual shootings and how the law has historically handled those questions. For example, what is a deadly threat? When does a threat actually become deadly? That's not as apparent as you might think. A fist fight, for example, doesn't qualify. Words never qualify, no matter how vicious or abusive words are. The old phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That applies in spades with self-defense situations. So you can't allow yourself to be provoked by any kind of insult and react. When is it reasonable to be afraid? What is a reasonable fear? Mm-hmm. What kind of circumstances must exist? And frankly, it must be an observable behavior that other people would look at and say, yes, that looks to me like a deadly danger. Someone is about to be killed or seriously injured. You don't get to make that decision. Somebody else makes that decision inevitably after you pull the trigger. It's the police, the prosecutors, juries. They're the ones that decide whether it was reasonable for you to be afraid, and that's based upon somebody else's behavior that's directed at you. Not general behavior. It doesn't mean that you're in the middle of a bad neighborhood or the guy looks scary or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Specific threatening behavior that's targeted towards you. That's an important consideration. Mm-hmm. Misbehavior by the shooter is a disqualifier, so that if the shooter behaves in a way that enhances the likelihood of a deadly encounter, promotes or provokes an encounter, is disqualified from having self-defense. You can't pick a fight with somebody and then have the thing get out of hand. Someone dies, and then you claim you had to act in self-defense. The law doesn't recognize that. So those are the kinds of things that people don't always recognize. And, you know, what's a reasonable alternative? If you can walk away, if you can simply walk away, even in states that have stand-your-ground laws, if you can just walk away, it becomes very difficult for you to persuade juries that it was reasonably, that it was really necessary
exactly.
for you to employ deadly force. And that's the key, is necessity. It has to be necessary.
The Castle Doctrine you address in your book, let's address this here right now so people understand.
Yeah, the Castle Doctrine is a version, if you will, of stand your ground. Every state has them, and it basically says that when you're inside your home, the person that's inside your his or her home may use deadly force and does not have to retreat before using deadly force, doesn't have to run away, doesn't have to try to hide or escape or anything else. They may stand their ground and defend against an invader, a person who's trying to break into their home, because they're frankly, there's, you know, if you have to retreat from your home, if you have to flee from your home, then where do you go? So the reality is that that law is present in every state. But the difference is every state will define what's considered a home in its own way. So in some states, the home is just considered the interior four walls of your dwelling.
They nothing have to outside. Come, they have to come through the front door. They can't be threatening outside on your porch.
Correct. They've got to be. They've got to be in your living space. Other states take a more liberal position, and it may include the front porch. Another state may include an attached garage. Other states may include detached buildings. So the real key on the Castle Doctrine is understanding where the coverage is in your state, and that is very much a state decision.
Well, General, you brought a lot to the book for us, especially those of us who are Second Amendment right activists and are promoting it, that you know, we need to keep ourselves educated and up to speed. And just as you mentioned right now, every state has a different part of the law, different interpretation. You can't just watch something on TV and think that that applies to your state. You need to be aware. But the book definitely brings, you know, a lot of questions and a lot of answers. And for those of us who are students of this, you know, we're going to appreciate your book, When Deadly Force is Involved, to look at the legal side of stand your ground, duty to retreat, and other questions of self-defense. What's the bottom line that you would want the reader to take from this, General?
The overarching question in every self-defense case is, was it really necessary for you to use deadly force to take the life of another human being to save your own? That's what it's all about. Is it really necessary?
Exactly. Bruce Lawler, retired as a Major General from the U.S. Army with extensive military civilian experience in the security sector. General, thank you so much for being with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.